How do we know Jesus is the Son of God? Well, there are a number of ways. One is the miracles he performed. We are going to examine one today which no one else in all the history of the world has ever been able to duplicate. Well, Jesus is still performing miracles. Just ask any sincere Christian. Throughout his gospel, John presents seven signs or miracles as evidence of the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. The first was performed at a wedding feast, where water was changed to wine. Perhaps you will recall that the first miracle Moses performed had to do with the changing of water. But in his miracle, water was changed to blood, typical of the law which could produce only death. But the changing of water to wine evidences the message of grace through Christ in his power to produce life. Thus we see the great truth of new life through Christ in our Lord's miracle. John chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." Apparently, this is the third day following the conversion of Philip and Nathanael. Cana was Nathanael's hometown. Whether or not Nathanael was related to the bride or bridegroom or merely a friend, we can only conjecture. Evidently, Mary, the mother of our Lord, was a friend of the family, probably participating in the preparations for the wedding. By virtue of the fact that Mary had some part in the wedding feast, both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. As far as we know, there were only five disciples at this time: Andrew, John, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael. Wedding feasts in the time of our Lord usually lasted several days and were attended by scores of guests. Often those who were not extremely rich found their supplies running low toward the close of the feast. Perhaps this was the case here, for they ran out of wine. But Mary felt that she had the answer. "And when they wanted wine," John says, "the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine." Doubtless the words "they have no wine" were spoken with heartfelt expectancy. Not only did Mary desire to help her friends in this emergency, but for years she anticipated the occasion when Christ might reveal his identity as God's only Son who should die for the sins of the world. She had never forgotten the words spoken by the angel and the miraculous events surrounding the birth of Christ. She knew that he was the Messiah and that one day he would make himself known. For 30 years, Mary had waited for the proper time. Now she thought it had arrived. Thus it would seem that her words, "they have no wine," really meant, "Son, perform a miracle. Reveal yourself. Show them who you are." Christ's reply gives this meaning to her request. It is obvious that Mary had never seen our Lord perform a miracle, but she knew he could and knew he would, thus her humble appeal. Verse 4, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Some have felt that our Lord's reply reveals disrespect. It was not that at all. Literally, it was, "Mother, what is there in common to me and thee? My thoughts are one thing and yours are another." We must realize that Mary was not infallible, but Jesus was. Mary was not free from sin, but Jesus was. Glancing off to the side, our Lord saw six stone water pots used for ceremonial purification purposes, according to the requirements of the Jews. Each was about the size of an ordinary barrel. Christ requested that the servants fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Then the Lord Jesus said, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. The governor of the feast was the one who presided at such an affair, a common practice among the Greeks and Romans. The wine Jesus created was not necessarily intoxicating wine. Fermented wine is the result of the corrupt, inventive genius of humans. Let us not think for a moment that the Holy Son of God, who condemns sin and drunkenness, change the water into anything but the pure juice of the vine. We should note also that Jesus did not touch the water pots nor the water. He did not pray to the Father openly for a miracle. He simply willed the change. Nowhere in the Bible do we read of such a miracle being duplicated by any prophet or apostle. The reason, of course, was that Jesus was the Son of God. Sometimes the Lord's people become downcast and discouraged. Our difficulties and problems seem more than we can bear. We cry aloud, "Oh, what shall I do?" Take heart, child of God, the same one who centuries ago willed that this water be changed to wine can also will that your frustrating circumstances be changed to pleasing ones. Wine in Scripture usually suggests joy. The water pots were filled with water, but Jesus changed the water to wine. At this moment, your life may be filled with misery, but the Lord Jesus can change it to joy. God says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." A miracle may be the only possible way joy can come to you. Well, rest assured, God is still performing miracles. The same Christ who stood in the midst of the marriage feast at Cana of Galilee stands in your presence today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be discouraged. Look to the Lord. He will not fail you. Trust Him. He will fill your heart with joy. Notice what the governor of the feast said after he tasted the wine. "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." He testifies that the best was kept to the last. That's the way it is when one becomes a Christian. The best is yet to come. It is wonderful to have the presence of the Lord with us each day, but on this earth, life is not altogether perfect. We have many sorrows to bear, with much misery and pain. These are days of the cross, but the crown and the throne are yet to come. "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Revelation 19, verse 9. There is another marriage feast yet to come. After our Lord returns, the best is yet to come. Verse 11, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." The glory of Christ's mighty power was now known. Soon the word would spread, and many would believe on Christ. The statement, "His disciples believed on him," does not mean that they were converted after seeing this miracle. They had already been converted. But the word "believe," as used here, means that they surrendered themselves to his control. After seeing this manifestation of Christ's power, they gave themselves fully to him, wholeheartedly. How important that every believer do the same. That we lay ourselves at Jesus' feet completely, reserving nothing for self. Who is running your life? You say you are a Christian. You read your Bible every day. You pray. You go to church. But who is in control of your life? Are you still running it? Do you make the decisions? Do you forget to pray many times throughout the day? Do you do this or that without calling on the Lord? Friend, let Jesus run your life. It goes much smoother that way. We go through the difficult spots, but with the peace of God overflowing in our hearts. Let Jesus be Lord of all. Let him move into your life in full control. And if you don't know Christ, many of you don't. I know that. I trust that this will be the day when you will come to him. Jesus is patiently waiting, knocking at your heart's door, and he's saying, "Come, come unto me." Turn to him, trust him as your Savior and Lord. Our blessed God, I thank you for your miraculous power. You are the same yesterday and forever. You never change. Help us to believe you for all things and trust you for all things. God, we are so weak in our faith. Help us to be strong in faith as we reach out and believe you for the miracles today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.